I'm spending most of this month looking at us as a church, and more particularly in that, what we are as a church. We're not spectators. The only spectator is God Himself. Our worship is not mainly what we do in this building, but our worship includes what we do in this world. Do we worship Him with all that we have and all that we are? One of the aspects that I really want to emphasize for us is that being part of a church is being a servant. And finding our place to serve and our place in the body of Christ. And when Jesus did that great act of washing feet, the point was not so much the washed feet as it was the act of service and humility. You see, there were dusty roads back in those days in Jerusalem in the Middle East. And they didn't have nice shoes. They had something more like a sandal. You ever got a rock in your shoe? Ever got just mud in your shoes and your feet get dirty and sweaty? I know you're glad to come for that spiritual insight. That's what life is kind of like. And one of the least jobs of a servant was to be, when you had guests, the foot washer. And Jesus and His disciples had gathered together, and the bowl was there, and the rags were there, the towels were there to wash the feet, but there was no servant there. And Jesus, the Master, looked around the room, and nobody was making a move towards the bowl of water, and so He got up. My suspicion is that nobody noticed that He got up. And He took off His clothes, and He laid them to the side, and He wrapped Himself around with the towel, so that He could take the dirty feet of the disciples and wash them one by one. And He went around the room. They were probably reclining as the manner was, their feet probably outward from the circle. And nobody says a thing. I don't know. There's so many times I would have liked to have been there to see. Was it Matthew He came to first? Maybe it was Judas. I always think, what would I have done if I'd have been Jesus and knew that Judas was about to betray me? Would I have broken his toes or what? Okay, I still need some work on me. I'll admit that. But Jesus washed them tenderly. He got all the way around the room, and finally He gets to Peter, and Peter said, "Lord, You'll never wash my feet." And the Lord said, "Peter, if I can't wash your feet, I'll have no part of you. Then wash all of me. Peter, you're not dirty all over. This is about the feet. We're going to wash your feet." And Peter's tried, but he's confused. He doesn't understand. Nobody understands. And by this time, everybody knows that the Master has washed the feet of the servants. Why didn't somebody jump up in the circle and say, "Lord, I'll take over. I'm sorry, I didn't know You were doing that. Let me wash the feet." Because they're like we are sometimes. We're more interested in being served than in serving. We're more interested in being spectators than participants. We're more interested in the elders doing something, or the deacons doing something, or the preachers doing something. We'll come along, we'll be consumer Christians, if there even is such a thing as a consumer Christian. So in John 13, verses 12 and 13, or verse 12 particularly, the Bible says, "So when He," that is Jesus, "had washed their feet, He taken His garment and sat down, He said, 'Do you know what I've done to you?'" And they're looking back with blank faces. Their answer, if they answer truthfully, is, "Lord, we don't have a clue. You washed our feet." And Jesus is saying, "Please see the service. Please see the service. Please see there's a place for you to serve each other. Please understand the message. It's not about the feet. It's about serving one another. It's about being involved." And so we sang the song, "Make me a servant, Lord. Make me like You, for You are a servant. Make me one too. Make me a servant. Do what You must do to make me a servant, to make me like You." It's a beautiful song. I hope you sang it just a moment ago. I hope you've sung it before many times. But I pray that you practice it. That you employ it in your life to say, "Where am I to work? Here am I, Lord, send me. I want to be of service in the kingdom. I want to be of service in Your world." In Matthew 20 and verse 27, Jesus said, "And whoever desires to be first among you, let him be your slave. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. Yes, he went to a cross for your sins and was placed in a borrowed tomb to show that death could not hold him. And on the third day, he rose from that grave again. He walks around. He's seen by the disciples. He's seen by more than 500 brethren at one time. There are a lot of things that are going on. But Jesus said, do as I've done. Become a servant to one another. And so we look at the Bible and we find the family of Zebedee. We talked a little bit about those in the Bible class I was in this morning. Family of Zebedee is an interesting group of people. There is Zebedee. There is Mrs. Zebedee. That's as close as I've got on her. And James and John. And you find their stories over in Matthew 20 and verse 20 and Mark 10 starting in verse 35. And it's the mother of Zebedee that Matthew records comes to Jesus and says to her sons, kneeling down and asking something from him, that is Jesus. And he said, what do you wish? Can you imagine being in the front of Jesus and Jesus saying, what do you want? Have you got your list ready? Have you got your desires? Surely you know what to say if Jesus said, what do you want? And she said, grant that these two sons of mine may sit one on your right hand and one on the left hand in your kingdom. But Jesus answered and said, you don't know what you ask. Are you able to drink the cup that I'm about to drink? Are you able to go to the cross and to be baptized with the baptism that I'm to be baptized with, the baptism of pain and suffering? And they, notice it's become the sons now and the mother together, they answer and said, we're able. We can do this. We can take care of that. He says, indeed, you'll drink of the cup and be baptized with the baptism I'm baptized with, but to sit on my right hand and on my left hand is not mine to give for those who is prepared for by my Father is who will sit there. So I want you to think with me a minute. Jesus says, do as I've done. Serve one another. I have a sneaking suspicion, and maybe I'm right and maybe I'm wrong, I don't know, but I think these boys had talked to Mom and said, Mom, wouldn't it be great if we sat on each side of Jesus in the kingdom? Because I think they're still confused about an earthly kingdom and not a heavenly kingdom. They're saying prestige and power, there's 12 of us here, but just think, if we had the sides on either side of the King of Kings. And so Mom makes the request. Or maybe she's just one of those parents that thinks her kids ought to be best. I don't know, but it's a totally inappropriate comment because they don't understand what it costs to get there. The way you get there is not by honor, but by service, by washing feet. We need to let God take care of who's going to be where in heaven. Jesus said, that's not even my place to decide who's going to be where and who's going to do what in heaven. You're asking the wrong person that God will take care of that. If you look down in Matthew 20 and verse 24, you'll find out that the rest of the disciples begin to fuss about it and be uneasy about it, and it was causing problems. I know that I don't think like everybody else sometimes, but bear with me just a minute. This will come as a surprise to some of you. I've never really thought that I should be in a beauty pageant. Maybe not so much as a surprise to you. I've never thought I ought to be in a beauty pageant because, number one, I think everybody gets their feelings hurt in beauty pageants because they don't win. I've never thought I ought to be in a beauty pageant because, look, I'm not going to stand by any of these girls in the front row and win. I'm not even going to get to be on the stage. Jesus said Christianity is not about beauty, it's about service. Heaven is not about the smartest or the best or the richest or the whatever. It's about service. It's about finding your place. And when we bring up these problems or these questions that say, I'm better than you or I'm more important than you in the kingdom, that's just simply wrong. There are no people more important in the kingdom because Jesus died for every one of us that we might be saved. And so Jesus says, here's what you need to understand. The Gentile world worries about who's going to be chief. The Gentile worries about who's going to be in what place. Matthew chapter 20 and verse 26, Jesus said, but it should not be so among you. To become great, serve. You want to be great, you be a servant. By the way, in the context here, we're not talking about a servant who's being paid. We're talking about a servant who is voluntarily giving himself to service. You want to be first on the list, then you become a slave. That's what the resurrected Lord said. And then he said on a more personal basis, I didn't come to be served. I came to serve. I didn't come to live the high life. I came to give my life for a greater cause. He calls it a ransom for many. When you look at the family of Zebedee, you find this misguided notion of greatness and who's going to be greatest in the kingdom. And Jesus tries not rudely but gently to say, greatness comes by being a servant in the kingdom. Finding your place in the body of Christ. Later this month we're going to talk about how that all members don't have the same office or the same gifts that God has given us and things that we need to do. Everybody doesn't have to be a preacher. Everybody doesn't have to be an elder. Everybody doesn't have to be a Sunday school teacher. But as we look through this month, we're going to find out that everybody has something to do. Preview of coming attractions in the parable of the talents. Jesus didn't give anybody zero talent. The least was one. But let me suggest also that Paul was a servant. He begins Romans chapter 1 by saying, Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle and set apart for the gospel of God. He said, I was called to be an apostle, but he first identifies himself as being a servant of God. Where can you use me, God? In Titus 1, he says, Paul, a servant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ for the sake of faith of God's elect and knowledge of the truth. Paul started out claiming to be a servant. In fact, the more you look at his writings, he says, I'm a servant, I'm a servant, I'm a servant. I'm here to serve, I'm here to give, I'm here to do. I'm not here to be served, I'm not here to be glorified. Colossians 1, verse 23, this is the gospel that you have heard. A little bit later on he says, of which I, Paul, have become a servant of the good news. Titus 1 and 1, he says he's a servant. In Colossians 4 and verse 7, he talks about his beloved brother Tychicus, a faithful minister, and a fellow servant in the Lord. He says, I'm not the only servant, but that's what we do in the kingdom. We serve. I understand it may be one of the harder jobs in the kingdom to sit and listen to a preacher every week. But I don't really think it's work. I think we enter to worship and leave to serve. The Bible talks about servants over and over again. James says in James chapter 1 and 1, James, a bond servant. Likely he's the brother of our Lord, but he calls himself a bond servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ. 2 Peter 1 and verse 1, Simon Peter, a bond servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ. Jude verse 1, Jude, a bond servant of Jesus Christ and the brother of James. Revelation 1 and 1, the revelation of Jesus Christ which God gave him to show to his servants. And he sent it to signify by his angels to his servant John. Servant, 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 serve, serve. You want to see a church grow? Then serve. You want to see the church reach out to the world? Be open to service to the world. You want to see a church grow, and I'm not talking about numbers, but I'm talking about in its commands before God. Serve him. And the church will grow. Sometimes we confuse our two or three times a week of coming into a building to service. It's always preparation for service. The title that I want the most at the end of time is to be a good and faithful servant. And that takes us back to the parable of the talents in Matthew 25. And he gave each according to his own ability. Somebody says, I can't lead a song. Good, that's not your gift. I can't preach a sermon. I don't know if you can or not, but if God really didn't gift you that way, I know he had this discussion with Moses one time, and Moses kind of came out on the short end of the argument. But if that's not it, find your place to serve. A preacher friend of mine was discussing some time ago about his Sunday school class. And I was listening, and I thought, I don't want to judge anybody, but it sounds like you're pretty simplistic in what you're teaching. Until he told me he was teaching the first and second grade class. And I thought, what a great thing to do, to serve. We had people at Wiregrass Christian the other day that were taking a tour of the building. They came by my office to see that there's a preacher that does something besides preach on Sunday morning. I got to tell you, I wasn't in my office when they came by. They didn't call first. I was here, I just wasn't there. He gave each one according to his own ability. Matthew 25, 6 and 17 indicates to me that we have to use what we're given. Then he who had received the 5 talents went and he traded with them and then got another 5 talents. And likewise he who had received the 2 talents gained more. But my fear is that the enemy is very successful in convincing us that we should do nothing. That we shouldn't lose what God has given us. Because somehow we'd come up on the wrong end of things if we told God, I lost what the talent you gave me, the ability you thought I had, I didn't have and I didn't use it. And so he who received 1 talent, verse 18, went and dug in the ground. And he hid his Lord's money. And after a long time, the Lord of those servants came and he settled accounts with them. And he who received 5 talents brought 5, saying, Lord, you delivered me 5 talents. Look, I've gained 5 more besides them. And the Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a few things. I'll make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. And he who received 2 talents said to him, Lord, you delivered unto me 2 talents. Look, I've gained 2 more besides them. And the Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a few things. I will make you a ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. Then he who received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew that you were a hard man, reaping where you've not sown and gathering where you've not scattered seed. And I was afraid, and I went and I hid your talent in the ground. Look, you have what is yours. The other passages began with then. Verse 26 begins with but. But the Lord answered and said to him, you wicked and lazy servant, you knew that I reaped where I have not sown and that I have gathered where I have not scattered seed. So you ought to at least deposit my money with the bankers. At my coming, I would have received my own back with interest. So take the talent from him and give it to another one. And for everyone who has more will be given, but to him and to him who has abundance, but from him who does not have, even that which he has will be taken away. And cast the unprofitable servant into outer darkness, and there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. That's the one that scares me. The one who said, I'm just going to hold on to what you gave me. I'm going to sit. I'm going to be quiet. I'm not going to share your word. I'm not going to serve anybody. But I'll be there. I'll be there every Sunday and I'll write my check. And you don't have to worry about me because I'm going to show up. Because I knew that judgment day is coming and I was afraid of judgment day. And God said, you wicked and slothful, you lazy servant. Good and faithful 2 times. Because they did. Giving back what we were given is never enough. The answer, never. I just took what you gave me and gave it back to you unused. It's unacceptable in the scheme of time. Lord, make me a servant, for you are a servant. Make me one too. My prayer to God is that we all have that attitude and we understand that God wants us to work in His kingdom. If you've never become a Christian, you can do that this morning. As a believer, you can be baptized for the remission of your sins. If you'll confess His name and repent of sins. Today you could be born again of the water and the Spirit. If you've not been faithful in the Christian walk and need to come back home, then why not, as we stand and sing, come to the front if we can help you.